The law of God is addressed to the spiritual man, proposing to regulate and enforce the temporal affairs of this life by appealing to this individual in such a way where he will be able to take the Word of God, apply it to his or her life, and then, as he or she is educated, that they may continue persistently to do good before God for the rest of their days upon this earth. And so we have gathered here this afternoon to consider under the umbrella, what good thing shall I do from the pew to daily practice, the subject of my discourse, daily Christianity. And I appreciate the theme for this year. It is not only timely, but one that strikes at the heart of Christianity itself. For when we consider the theme together, we are readily cognizant of the fact that as Christians, we are to be involved in a life of good works. And we are also made aware of the fact that there is an individual responsibility placed upon each and every one of us who names the name of Christ. For consider, the theme says, what good thing, and then it says, what good thing shall I do? And this, of course, is taken from a dialogue between Jesus and a rich young ruler. And in that dialogue, we understand that in substance, Jesus was getting at the point that in order to be pleasing to God, in order to receive salvation, then one must be obedient to the gospel of God. And so, this afternoon, let us be reminded that in this lectureship, we are striving to learn to move from a complete and accurate teaching of God's Word to a powerful practice. And none of us would contend that Christianity is not a life of good works, for one needs only to read the pages of inspiration to understand that God has created us in Christ Jesus. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Is this not what the Apostle Paul declared as he wrote to the church at Ephesus? And remember also in Colossians, the second chapter in the 12th verse, where there we read that God operates upon us in such a way where we are now new creatures, in essence. And in another place, the Bible says that we are new creatures and we are to be zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2, beginning the thought there at verse number 11, but culminating in verse 14, where the Bible makes reference to the fact that Jesus died that he might purify unto himself a people zealous of good works. And so beyond a shadow of a doubt, we must be as Christians involved in good works. But there is an individual responsibility placed upon each and every one of us. For the rich young ruler did not ask what good thing only, but he asked, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so this afternoon, as we contemplate upon the subject daily Christianity, let us not fail to recognize that we are to be involved in good works, and also that there is an individual responsibility that each of us must fulfill. But in considering daily Christianity, let us consider first of all that Christ is the one who is the originator of faith as well as its perfecter. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we remember there that the Hebrew writer records for us Jesus being the originator of faith, and we understand how he does this, for he is the one that was sent by Almighty God to deliver unto us a message. And it is through this message, as we hear, as we understand, and as we yield obedience to it, that faith is created within us. And we know that this Word is the Son of God, for the Word was in the beginning. He was God, and He is God. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. John 1:1, John 1:14. And it is through this Word that we are able to come to our senses, as it were, to understand what it is that God holds for us, to understand what He expects from us. And when we yield allegiance to God through the gospel, then we have faith created within us. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And so He is the originator of faith. But as we stay with Him, and as we are consistent, learning and maturing in our ways as a Christian, then He is also the perfecter of faith. In another place, the Apostle Peter reminds the Christians that Christ left for us an example to follow. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, he says to those Christians there, those of a like and precious faith, that we are to follow in His footsteps. And so this evening, or this afternoon rather, as we seek to understand what is involved in daily Christianity, we must understand that Christ is at the forefront of this particular lesson, and this could be said of all lessons. But now notice, obedience to the gospel is the beginning of a transformation. Christianity is not merely a profession we make, it is a life we are to live. The gospel will cause a man to change his earthly ways, but no man will change unless he is willing to first change something he does daily. Consequently, Christianity requires certain daily activities which serve to stamp the will of Almighty God upon the heart and mind of an individual. And when we consider all that is involved in Christianity, we at once recognize that there are certain things that we are to be doing daily. Consider with me, if you will, the text of the hour. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Here we have a discussion recorded by Luke involving Jesus and His followers. And it is said there these words, "And He said unto all, if a man would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." Notice the word daily. Inherent in this text is Christ's explanation of the cost of discipleship. And concerning the subject of this hour, we want to focus for just a moment on what is involved in Christianity and what is involved in daily Christianity. We will return to this text in just a few moments, but let's take, if you will, in order, some of the daily activities that Christians are to be involved in. Number one, as Christians, we are to be involved in a daily study of God's Word. This is not only seen in principle in the Old Covenant, but it is also seen by commandment in the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, we have passages such as Psalm 1 and 2, where the Bible teaches us there that the delight of the Blessed One, the Happy One, the follower of God, the delight of His or hers is in the law of Jehovah, and on His law doth he meditate day and night. Notice the emphasis on daily. We are to meditate upon the law of God day and night. As we take it from the New Testament, we come across passages such as Acts 17 and 11, where there the Bereans are spoken of more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all readiness of mind. Notice, they were willing to receive it. And they received it how? With readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures, the Bible says, daily to see whether those things were so. The central part of Christianity revolves around a study of God's Word. And when we seek to understand what is entailed in studying God's Word, we discover that there is a knowledge to be acquired, there is an understanding to be procured, and a wisdom to be attained. What we need as Christians is the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom of God. These are the qualities that will help us to be successful in our spiritual march to Zion. Notice that God has provided His knowledge, and knowledge is simply the acquisition of facts. We have God's knowledge here in book form. We call it the Bible. And when we take this knowledge and we study it, when we meditate upon it, when we begin to analyze it and carefully exegete it, then we receive an understanding of that knowledge. Knowledge and understanding, as they work together, will give us wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to choose the best course of action in any given situation. So, when we have the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom of God, we will be able to negotiate a successful physical life here upon this earth, but more importantly, a successful spiritual life here upon this earth. Without this, we will be unfruitful in our work for God. You remember what the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 beginning? There Jesus contemplates a wise man and contrasts him with a foolish man. And what was the essential difference between the two? It was not that one was willing to hear and the other was not. For both men, as it is recorded, were willing to hear the word of God. The essential difference between the two was that the foolish man was unwilling to act upon what it is that he heard. Jesus said, "For he that heareth my will and doeth it is likened unto a wise man. But he that heareth it and fails to do it is likened unto the foolish man." And we know and understand the rest of the story there. So the Word of God is something that is essential in our lives. It is something that we must not only read, but also seek to understand. And the problem of the church today is that a lot of people read the Word of God, but they fail to understand the Word of God. We have a lot of education in the Word of God, but not a lot of understanding of the Word of God. The Bible is our only guide. This was a motto of the Restoration Movement. But the Bible is not only our guide, the Bible we must also rightly divide. And this is something that a study of God's Word will give us. And so, in daily Christianity, what we need is a daily study of God's Word. Secondly, we need to be involved in a daily supplication. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 86 and 3, there the psalmist says that he cried to the Lord daily. And in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 teaches us, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we are to pray without ceasing. But in our understanding of prayer, I believe that many brethren have failed to recognize a very essential aspect of prayer. Indeed, we understand that prayer is to ask of God, it is to beseech God, and if we pray accordingly, it is to receive those things that we stand in need of. But prayer is much more than this. For the Bible teaches us that prayer also serves to cultivate a spirit of humility and to spiritually focus us and to discipline us as we live our Christian lives here upon this earth. Consider the prayer postures that are recorded in the divine record, both in the Old and the New Testament. Each of these prayer postures in some way is a symbol of humility. In our day today, whether it be in private or in public, our prayer posture is usually prostrate on the ground praying to God. We may do this in private. It's usually kneeled with our heads bowed in recognition of God's sovereignty. And in public, it is customary for us to stand and to bow our heads. All symbols of humility. All symbols of recognizing that there is one who is greater than us. And so prayer, each time we engage in this act, it serves to remind us that we are to be humble, that we are to subject ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we are to be conformed to His will and all that He says outlined in His book. But it also serves to discipline us spiritually, to keep us focused, and to remind us of our purpose here upon this earth. For when we pray, and when we pray consistently, it engraves upon our hearts and minds an attitude of always turning to God, disciplining ourselves when we are consistent in our prayer life. And so we see then also that a daily Christianity not only involves a study of His Word, but it also involves a life of supplication. And who better to teach us about prayer than Jesus Himself? What was His prayer life like? In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7, we are told there by the Hebrew writer how Jesus' prayer life was while here upon this earth. In Hebrews 5 and 7, the Bible declares, "Who in the days of His flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for His godly fear, though He was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and having been made perfect, He became unto all them that obey Him the author of eternal salvation, named of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Note, if you will, that He offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him. This was Jesus. And if He is greater than you and me, what does that say about your life and my life in prayer? If He offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, then that should say to us that we should be involved in the same. But moving forward, we also recognize that Christianity, or rather that Christians, are to be involved in a daily denial of self. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, it was there that the Apostle Paul says to the Christians, "I die daily." And one of the fundamental characteristics of Christianity is selflessness. One must be willing to put off self and put on Christ. This was the declaration of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Galatia, or to the churches of Galatia. And he says there, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith." And so we can see and understand there that a daily denial of self is essential to making progress as a Christian here upon this earth. When we stop and we think about it in a practical manner, we understand that indeed this is essential. For the daily activities of Christianity place upon us the responsibility to be willing to put down what we want, what we desire, what it is that I would like to see in my life, and we must be willing to take up the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, and with His wisdom, we transform our lives and we become more and more not as we would like ourselves to be, or not as we see ourselves here upon this earth, but more and more like Jesus as He showed us the Father. Is this not what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15? Where there the Apostle Peter says that we are to be holy as God is holy in all manner of life. And this is something that the Apostle Peter demonstrated based upon his understanding of the Old Covenant as it was recorded. In the book of Leviticus, we see there, beginning with chapter 10, that the responsibility of the priests was to set a difference between the holy and the common. And he gives them there their responsibilities. In chapter 11 of this same book, God there talks about what they could and could not eat. At the conclusion of that particular chapter, he says there that he is attempting to impress upon their minds how to recognize the difference between the holy and the common. And his purpose was to teach them how to be like him. And so in the New Testament, Jesus exemplifies, he emulates the Father so that we will learn to be like him, so that we can dwell with him for an eternity in the hereafter. This is the reason why Jesus came to this earth. It was to show us a better way. And in order to do this, we must first be willing to put down our pride. We must first be willing to put down ourself and to recognize God as God, and then to give ourselves over to Him fully. Next, Christians ought to be involved in a daily vigilance. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34 concerning wisdom, that we are to be waiting daily at the gates, and we are to be waiting for wisdom. And we know what the New Testament teaches us about wisdom. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, along with verse 30, the Bible says there that Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In the Apostle Paul's epistle to the church at Colossae, he makes mention there in chapter 2 that all the treasures of wisdom are hidden in Christ. So we know that to receive Christ's teaching is to receive the wisdom of God. And so therefore, to be waiting daily for wisdom's instruction is synonymous. It is tantamount to saying that we are to be waiting daily to receive instruction from the Lord. And we do this today by studying, meditating, and applying the Word of God to our lives. We need a daily vigilance. For you see, wisdom gives us the ability to recognize those things that we should be involved in. We're seeking opportunities to do good. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. So we're looking for those opportunities to do good. But at the same time, we are aware that we are surrounded by evil, that sin is against us and all around us. And so we recognize in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, where there the Apostle Peter declares that we are to be sober, we are to be watchful or vigilant, for our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you know, it's interesting there that the lion is roaring. Because a lion roars when it is hungry. And we know further that lions are meat eaters. The very thing that a lion enjoys, as those in a position to know will tell you, is the taste of blood. And so when the lion roars, he roars because he is bloodthirsty. And keeping that within the context of the Bible, we understand that also Satan is bloodthirsty. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says that life is in the blood, that the soul of man is in the blood. And so we recognize then that when the lion roars, he is roaring because he's bloodthirsty, because he's soul thirsty. He's seeking those whom he may devour. And therefore, what you and I need as Christians is a daily vigilance, not only to obtain the wisdom that is needed to recognize those opportunities that we are to be involved in, but also to be on guard against all evil in every form. And this is what the Bible teaches us. But now notice, Christians are to be involved in a daily duty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 28, it was there that the Apostle Paul records for us the anxiety that he had for the churches. For you see, the Apostle Paul had a deep concern for the churches, how they fared. And he understood and recognized that God had called him for a particular purpose. And he gave himself completely over to this. So that the Bible teaches us that he had a daily concern for his duty as an apostle of Christ. You and I also have a daily duty. We are not apostles, but we are workers of God. And the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 that we are to let our light shine that people may see our good works and glorify God who is in heaven. Ephesians 2:10, we have been created by God in Christ Jesus for good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17 teaches us that the word of God equips us for every good work. It instructs us. It shows us what it is that we need to be prepared to perform the good works of God. And once again in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Jesus died in our stead that he might bring to himself a special people zealous of good works, as the Bible declares in that particular place. But remember also 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, where the word of God declares that we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our work is not in vain in the Lord. And so it tells us there that we are to be involved in a daily duty. We are to be giving ourselves over to the business of God. We are to be giving ourselves over to the work of God. And every day we are to be doing those things that the church has set, or that God has set out for the church here upon the pages of inspiration. Then we see also in Scripture that Christians are to be involved in a daily suffering. We recognize in Psalm 44 and 22, the psalmist making reference to suffering and all that was involved with suffering. But also in our text for this hour, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, we can see also that Christianity involves a daily suffering. Yes, we understand that there the cross is a symbol of salvation, but it can also be a symbol of suffering. All that was involved in the salvation that Christ brought. And who can forget the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, where there he said, "Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We must prepare ourselves to be persecuted. For this world in which we live is described in the Bible as a corrupt world, as a crooked world. And those of us seeking to live a righteous life, those of us seeking to live in harmony with the will of God, will meet persecution as we seek to do the will of God in all that we do. So every Christian must understand that he or she must be willing to suffer for the name of Christ. And did you know that the Bible says that it is a benefit, or that rather it is a privilege to suffer on behalf of Christ? In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 28, It was there that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi the following words, "And in nothing affrighted by the adversaries, which is for them an evident token of perdition, but of your salvation, and that from God." Now notice verse 29. "Because to you it hath been granted in the behalf of Christ," it hath been granted in the behalf of Christ, "not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf." This is somewhat oxymoronic, we understand, but the Bible teaches us that it has been granted unto us to suffer on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer. And many times people fail to recognize the power in suffering. God understood what he was doing when he permitted sin and suffering to enter into the world. For even God himself uses these things to mold Christians to become what he would have them to become. When we take a look at suffering in the Bible, and when we understand its true import, we understand that God, in his infinite wisdom, was able to take this, and he, in giving us his word, was able to use this not for bad, but for good. God knows that there will be many lost, but he also knows that there will be few to be saved, and it is those few that he is desirous of. And these few shall be saved when they take his will, and in suffering learn to live the Christian life as he would have them to live it. The Bible teaches us this. And so we must be willing to suffer on a daily basis. But let's consider also that Christians are to be involved in a daily exhortation. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13, the Hebrew writer there comments upon this particular aspect of daily Christianity. And there in the third chapter of the Hebrew epistle, verse 13, the Bible says, "But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Notice that exhortation is important because it is one of the ways that we keep ourselves from sin. And this is something that each of us must be involved in. Yes, we must be involved in a daily study of God's word. Yes, we must be praying daily. Yes, we must understand and adopt an attitude of selflessness. Yes, we must also be looking out for those good opportunities and resisting the evil. Yes, we must understand that there is a daily duty that has been placed upon us. Yes, we must prepare ourselves to suffer daily. But we must also understand that there is some exhorting to take place in our lives. For you see, battling against sin is both wearisome and frustrating. But the Bible says that a Christian is not to grow weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. And we are not to grow weary in well-doing because we understand and know that in due time we shall reap if we faint not. And this is something that we have to understand. For you see, Christianity involves so many things that one could say it is difficult to live the Christian life. And this is, of course, a true statement. But nothing worthwhile has ever come easy. Even though the Christian life is difficult, there is a great reward to be gained if we hold on, if we stand fast. And one of the ways we do this is by exhorting one another day by day. We exhort one another day by day because we are concerned for one another. We love one another. And we want to see the best in ourselves, also in our fellow brethren. And so, this afternoon, as we now conclude, let us remember that in learning to move from a complete teaching of God's word to a powerful practice of Christianity, We must acknowledge the fact that Christianity is a way of life. It is not only a profession that we make, it is a life that we live. And as a way of life, Christianity inherently involves certain daily activities, activities which are designed to imprint the character of God in our life. Let us be busy then. And let us be Christians who are involved in a daily study of His Word. Let us be Christians who are involved in a daily supplication. Let us be Christians who are involved in a daily self-denial, a daily vigilance, a daily duty, a daily suffering, and a daily exhortation. May God bless His holy word.